The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
You guys had an incredible new year, and you started the year out right. Everybody made resolutions. Is that correct?
Sure.
Yeah. I made a few resolutions. One resolution I made, I posted on Twitter, that I resolved to continue to not do karaoke. I will continue in my tradition to never stand up in front of an audience and karaoke. I don't even know if karaoke is a verb or not, but anyway, I will not do that. Also, I resolved that I'm going to increase the amount of soda that I drink, because a lot of people are saying, I resolved to not drink any soda this year, so I have to kind of maintain balance in the universe. So I'm going to drink more soda. If you're not drinking soda, then that's okay. You'll be okay, because I'm going to make up for you throughout this year. We make a lot of resolutions. I guess a resolution is kind of like a promise to yourself, because no one really, you know, holds you accountable to it. You know what I'm talking about? I actually have seen people say things like, you know, I'm going on a diet. If anybody sees me eating anything fatty, then knock it out of my hand and slap me in the face. Someone actually wrote that on their Facebook, and I thought to myself, that is going to get really old. I could just see someone following this person around, reading the nutrition content on everything they eat, and the moment it gets up to her lips, whoop-ah, knock it out of there. Sounds kind of fun, but making a resolution, I think it's something that we do. And I think we feel good about ourselves when we resolve to do something. For me, New Year's resolutions usually end up making me feel a little bit guilty, because about January 10th, I'm like, oh man, I already messed it up. And there's times in your life where you promise yourself you're going to do something, and then you end up failing. But it's like you failed yourself, and so there's guilt, but it's not really a kind of a public guilt, and so I guess it's kind of okay, we justify it. This morning we're going to be talking about all things new, and I asked the question earlier this week, if you had the chance, would you like to just start over? I mean, start the year over. It's a little early in 2011. Hopefully you haven't made so many mistakes that you're like, let's start this year over. But there's been times where it gets about, you know, March or April, and I'm like, man, can I have a do-over? Because this year is just not going the way I had planned. And the thing that's so cool about what we're going to talk about this morning is that God gives us that opportunity to start over. And that opportunity to start over can happen at any point in your life, even if you've already started over, so to speak. Even if you have made some sort of agreement with God saying, God, I want to start over, give me a clean slate, there's always a point where you can come to God and say, God, I need a fresh beginning. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So let's pray and ask God that He would open our eyes, open our hearts to the message He has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being such an amazing God. Father, we don't deserve your love and your goodness, but yet, God, you still give it to us so freely. It's a free gift that always just blows me away. God, I thank you for second chances, because, Father, I know that I really screwed up my first chance. I know that I really have made some mistakes and done some things that dishonors you, and God, I thank you that you are a God that forgives and wipes the slate clean. And I pray this morning, God, that we would hear that message ring strong. But also, Father, I pray that you would show us some things that are practical, that really will help us understand how we really can live in that new life that you've given us. God, help us not to just kind of stay in a stagnant old place, but help us to move on to new things you have for us. Thanks, God. And this morning as I speak, I pray that my words would be your words. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, and two chapters that I love, Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. We're actually going to be kind of going back and forth between those two passages. But let me read it first, and then we'll kind of dig in and talk about some of the things we find here. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. He says, "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles." Now, I'm going to stop right there because the word Gentiles here is used to explain a person that doesn't know God or has no experience with God, okay? Or an unbeliever. You could insert that there. "For they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Now, this passage at the beginning kind of starts out a little bit dark. As a matter of fact, it describes a place of darkness. It describes a people that are just kind of wandering around with no direction and seeking to fulfill only the things that please themselves. But the encouraging thing here is that this is a description of the past. And maybe it might not be a description of your past. Maybe right now you find yourself in a dark place. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you've kind of been going along through life and you've been living life in a selfish way. And so maybe you read that passage and you're like, wow, that kind of describes where I'm at. I hope that it doesn't, but maybe it does. And maybe that darkness that you feel, you recognize, is something that needs to disappear. I'm excited about this first idea that I want you guys to draw out of this passage, because Paul says that isn't what you learned about Christ. In other words, all those things that I just described, that is not the life that Jesus has intended for you. God has not intended you to live in a life of darkness. Matter of fact, my first point is this. Say goodbye to yesterday. Say goodbye to yesterday. Now, I'm not saying that... Now, we all have memories that are fond. We have things that we enjoy kind of reflecting on. But for the most part, we spend a lot of time pulling our past into the present. Have you done that before? You remind yourself. If someone else doesn't remind you, you remind yourself of the things you've done that you're not proud of. And so you kind of bring the past into the present with you. And it is difficult to say goodbye to those things. As a matter of fact, this is one of the few times I find myself agreeing with Boys to Men. Got a nice picture of it. It's hard to say goodbye to yesterday. These guys were right. It's actually trying to find a picture with all four of them, but I don't know what happened to that one guy. Gone. You say goodbye to the band, I guess. Probably a good move on his part. It is difficult. It is difficult to turn your back on things that are hurtful, on things that are dark, on things that you're ashamed of. It's hard to leave those things in the past. But you're never going to be able to experience the new life that Jesus has for you if you don't learn the lesson that these guys learned. Saying goodbye to yesterday. Colossians 3:7, here's an incredible verse from that passage. It says, "You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world." You used to do these things. And used to do these things as in you used to not know how to walk. You used to wet the bed. You used to, you understand what I'm saying? These are things that happened a long time ago and are in your past. And physically, it's easy to leave certain things behind because they're things that you don't do as you mature. But spiritually, it's difficult. It's difficult to turn your back on the past and say, see you later. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. live as children of light. At first glance, you think this verse says, for you were once in darkness. It doesn't say that. It says you were once darkness. In other words, your life itself was a dark place at one time. And if you've experienced God's love, if you've experienced a transformation that comes only from Jesus, then that darkness is no longer there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. I like watching game shows every once in a while just because I like to see the reactions of people when they win something. I was watching the other day one called Sing Off. Is that a... No, that can't be it. Some one where you had to like come up with the lyrics of the song and you had to like finish the song. What is it? Don't forget the lyric. I actually forgot the name of the game show. Yeah. Don't forget the name of the game show. I'm watching this and this girl was up and she was singing these songs and they would have the music and the words and she's singing along and then all of a sudden they would like cut the music and then she's left there to try to finish it. And she was a terrible singer. But I found myself after, you know, the first half an hour, I found myself cheering for her. And luckily there was no one else in the room because when she would get it right, I'd be like, yeah, you get it, girl, you got it. That's why I shouldn't watch game shows, I think, because I really get into it. But there was a promise of all this money. And so she starts out with like $5,000 that she had won, and it gets to like $10,000, and then it's she has a choice of keeping the $10,000 or going all the way and winning $50,000. But if she doesn't get it right, then she loses everything she's had up to that point. And I'm on the edge of my seat at this point. I'm like, you better make the right decision. You're a terrible singer, but I think you know the words. And so I'm on the edge of my seat, and she says, you know what? She's like, it's all or nothing. That was a classic line, and I wish that I would have said that. But she said, it's all or nothing, and so that meant she was going for it. And luckily, just so I didn't cry, she got it right, and she won the $50,000. And I couldn't help think to myself, man, for her, that means a lot of cool stuff. That means that, you know, she can pay off some bills. She can maybe pay for, if she was in college, she could pay for something there. She could buy a car. I'm thinking of all these ways that her life had just changed because someone had just given her 50 grand. Of course, after taxes, who knows? But the point is this, we get so excited over something like that. And we say to ourselves, if I only had this amount of money, or if I only had this one thing, or if this would just happen to me, my life would be completely different. And we don't realize that something has happened to us. Or maybe we don't realize that something can happen to us today that will completely change our life forever. My friends, the moment you begin a relationship with Jesus, your life will never be the same. It's better than getting the $50,000. But if you got that also, that wouldn't be too bad. That'd be nice. Let's look at Ephesians 4:22. It's part of our passage. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So now we come to the point where we have an action taking place. A few months ago, Debbie and I came across this show on TV. We don't actually have cable TV, but we have Netflix, which is kind of like the same thing, but no commercials, and you can choose what you want to watch. And so we're watching this show called Hoarders. Has anybody seen the show Hoarders? Okay, if there's anything that will make you want to go clean your room, it's watch. Okay, for those of you that haven't seen the show, it basically is a show where they go into someone's house, and the person actually is diagnosed with this mental condition where they can't throw stuff away. They have to hold on to stuff. And so, actually, I have a couple pictures so you guys can kind of see. What? Here it comes. Nice. I think that's supposed to be like someone's living room. Hopefully, none of these are pictures of your home. If you're on here, I'm sorry, I didn't know. That's apparently somebody's room, kid's room or something, I think. Nice place to play. And the kitchen.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. Okay, so Debbie and I are watching this show, And we tell ourselves, this can never happen to us. And so I think our show ended like at midnight or something, and we're like, let's start cleaning now. And we cleaned into the wee hours of the morning. There's just something about a person that wants to hold on to the old things. And we look at this and we're like, wow, that's crazy. I would never do that. But we do that in a spiritual way. And so my next point is get rid of the old to make room for the new. All this stuff has to go in order for new stuff to come in and take its place. And hopefully it'll be more organized than that. Get rid of the old to make room for the new. I believe that many of us are caught up in a thing that I call spiritual hoarding, and we need to do some spiritual de-hoarding. Some spiritual de-hoarding. That might be a new word, yeah. Actually, it's not, because Debbie said it first. She kept saying, we need to de-hoard, we need to de-hoard. It became the new verb in our house. Spiritual de-hoarding. We hold on to things that are bad for us. We hold on to things that clutter up our lives. We hold on to things that pile up between us and God. And I think that if we're going to do what this scripture is telling us to do, throw off that old stuff, I think we need to do some spiritual de-hoarding. But I think there's an important lesson to learn. We were watching one episode where they, like, at the very end, they tell you what happens to the people after they get, like, professional house cleaners and organizers and psychologists to come in and meet with the people. And by the end of the show, they tell you the story. You know, this person's house is now, you know, now their house is clean, they can have friends over, you know. And then another one will tell you, you know, the house was clean entirely, but over the next year, it, you know, all this stuff built up again. And you hear stories like that, you're like, man, how did that happen? But it happens so easy, and especially in our lives when we allow things to just kind of creep in. At first, it's just one thing, and it's not a big deal. And then it's another thing, and it's not a big deal. But before we realize that all those small things have piled up, and we realize that we have once again collected all these things that are dishonoring to God, we have once again become spiritual hoarders. And I believe God is telling us that we need to de-hoard spiritually. If we don't do that, we're never going to really be able to live this new life that God's given us. But here's an important thing to remember. If it's not gone, you'll go back for it. If you don't actually get rid of that thing, you're going to return to it. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. And nobody likes to talk about vomit on a Sunday morning, but there's a lot of truth there. We go back to it. Even if it's foul and it's dirty and it's stinky, we still go back to it, because for some reason we're drawn to those things. And God wants us to get rid of those things. Ephesians 4:22 in the Message, which is a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, says, since then we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. It has to go. There's something about a life that just wants to hold on to those things. God doesn't want you to live that way. Jesus didn't come to this earth and sacrifice his life so that you could surround yourself spiritually with a bunch of junk. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. I think this verse teaches us a lot of truth. First of all, it tells us that there's no way you're going to make any progress. There's no way you're going to be effective if you don't shed some of that weight that's on you from all that junk you've been collecting. And it says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. See, we know exactly what it is that is our weakness. We know that thing that brings dishonor to God, and how it's so easy for us to fall into that trap. We know what that thing is. And why is it so hard for us to avoid it, even though we know exactly what that thing is? I believe it's because we're not living in the victory that God's given us. We're not living in that victory that Jesus has over that sin and those issues. And it says, run with endurance the race God has set before us. You know, we talk a lot about at Remnant the life that God has for you, stepping into God's plan for you, saying yes to God and becoming a part of God's mission for your life. All those things, we want that to be true for you. God wants that to be true for you. But you're never going to know what those things are unless you shed the things that are useless and the things that are going to drag you down. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language." If you go to that passage, there's a whole list of things. And you know, we don't have to air our dirty laundry to know that there are some things that are dishonoring to God that we just need to get rid of. There's not even a question here. There's not even a question. Those things need to be gotten rid of. And you know what the problem is? Many of us try to get rid of those things on our own. We try to, in our own strength, get rid of the things that are bad for us. And the reality is, we're not strong enough to do that. I mean, we may be strong enough to empty our closet out, but we're not strong enough to keep stuff from going back in there. That's where God comes in. The next verse says, in verse 23, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes." Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. There actually has to be a change of mind in order for that stuff to stay gone. And that's my next point, experience a change of mind. And I first wanted to say that we need to change our minds, but the fact is we don't really have a whole lot of control over that because we're just going to fall right back in the trap. We have to experience a change of mind that comes from the outside, and God is the only one that can bring that about. It has to be coming from the outside, and God is really the only one that can change your mind and change your heart. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I love how in this passage, allowing God to change your mind actually opens up your eyes so that you can see what God has for you. Allowing God to do that renewing work in your heart and in your mind actually allows you to see the path ahead of you and to know what God's plan is. I've had people, countless people, come to me and say, "How do I know what God's will is for my life? How do I know the direction God wants me to know? How do I know the decisions that God wants me to make?" The obvious answer from this passage is, allow God to transform your mind. Allow God's Spirit to do a renewing, changing work in your mind and in your heart, and then His plan for your life will become clear. How does that happen? Philippians 2:5 says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And in this passage, I love this passage, it describes, you can read it on your own time, but it describes how Jesus humbled Himself and became a man. And what Jesus had to go through, that whole process that had to take place, is the same thing that needs to happen in our minds. We need to realize, first of all, we're not good enough. Second of all, we're really not smart enough. And thirdly, we're not strong enough. And the reality is, if you're going to live this life and you're going to be successful in life, and I'm not talking about making a lot of money, and I'm not talking about having a big home, but I'm talking about doing the things that bring honor to God. If that's going to happen in your life, it has to be God doing it through you. It has to be God doing it through you. Experience a change of mind. We need a new attitude. This brought to mind another song from the 80s I won't share with you. Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." What's so cool is that we are created in God's image. God made us to be like Him. We've got a problem, though. We've got sin. And in order for us to become more like Jesus and become more like Him, we have to surrender to Him. We have to give things over to Him. We have to allow Him to be a part of that process. If you're trying to do it on your own, it's just not going to happen. And we all want to live that new life. We all want to live that life of victory. But it's just not going to happen if it doesn't happen through God and if we're not allowing Him to work through us. The next verse says, "Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Once God begins that renewal of your mind and you begin to experience that transforming work that God's Spirit does, then all of a sudden we realize that we've got to put on the new wardrobe. That old look that we had, the old ways, that's not going to work anymore. And that's my next point. Put on the new wardrobe. When I was a kid, I used to love the first day of school. Not because I liked to go to school, but because I had all this new stuff that I could take to school. I mean, I had new clothes to wear. I had a new lunch pail. Actually, sometimes it was just a coffee can, but that was my family, not yours. And sometimes it would be new shoes. You never know when you're a little kid and you put on your new shoes and you're like, now I can run faster. It was an exciting thing. When you dress up, you feel a little bit better. And God wants us to change our wardrobe. He wants us to put on some new clothes. And the illustration of putting on clothes and getting dressed up, I think, is appropriate, because really these things are things that are kind of seen outwardly. And so God wants us to do that. But here's the most profound lesson that I've learned when it comes to taking on these things. If you work hard and you allow God's Spirit to do a work in your life to where you've gotten rid of some things that is not pleasing to God, but if you never replace those things with something else, they're going to sneak back in. So you can get rid of all that stuff, but if there's nothing there to replace it, if you just leave a hole, a vacancy, it's going to get filled by something. That's why it's so important for us to take on all the things that God has for us, all the things that are going to make us the person that God wants us to be. Ephesians 2:10 describes it. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us so long ago." Maybe you don't think of your life as a masterpiece, but if you're going to believe God's word, you have to believe that you are God's masterpiece. And that your life, if you're living your life the way God has planned, that is exactly the way God created you. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do all those things that he's had planned for us for so long. I love what God says to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 11:19. He says, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." In other words, I'll take away that heart that was resisting me and I'll replace it with a heart that's tender, a heart that's moldable, a heart that I can use. Is that the life that you want? See, this new life is all about allowing God to mold and shape us into the person that he wants us to be. And the person that God wants you to be is going to be one that draws other people to Jesus. The more like Jesus you become, the more people that you're surrounded by that'll be drawn to him. Colossians 3:14, 16, and 17 says, "Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Here we have a description of someone who's clothed themselves in the things that are bringing honor to God. All that stuff that they got rid of has been replaced, and it's been replaced by things that bring God honor. That is the ultimate goal for each one of us. See, Jesus came so that all things could be made new. The cool thing about God is that God doesn't force himself upon us. God doesn't say, "You have to be that person." He offers it to you. He says, "This is how you can do it. This is how everything can be new and how everything can be good." But it's a choice that each one of us has to make. And so I invite you this morning, if you've never made that choice, if you've never said to God, "God, I want the new life. I want to surrender all that old stuff. I want to get rid of it. I want to begin a new life in you." If you've never done that, I want to give you the chance to do that this morning. And if you have done that, I want to give you the opportunity to do some spiritual de-hoarding and get back on that path that's right and that path that's bringing honor to God.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.